we are back at it again. Refuge Podcast. And I'm your host, John Lanier. And on season 6, we've been going through the book of 2 Peter. We're on episode 2. We're going through chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And I've entitled it Bearing Fruit. We're going to look at what Peter writes about the work of the gospel in the heart of the Christian and why it's important to be growing in these things as we spend time with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I pray and I invite you to give your life to Jesus. Repent of your sin, come to faith in Him, and make Him the Lord and Savior of your life, and watch what God will do. So we're getting back into it. Been a few weeks and just took some time to really meditate on this passage. And I hope that the last episode was encouraging to you. We started out 2 Peter and we're looking at a little bit about who Peter was. He's an apostle that followed Jesus. One of the, if you want to call it, the inner circle of the disciples, as he spent a lot of quality time with Jesus, walking with him and getting to know the Lord and hearing his teachings up close. And we're going to look, as we look through the rest of 2 Peter, there are some allusions to some of the stories that the things that Peter experienced with Jesus. But what we come to in this book is Peter is coming to the end of his life. He realizes that his time is short. The persecution by Caesar Nero is ramping up. But there's also an additional thing that Peter starts to see happen, and we're going to look at that probably in the next couple episodes. And he's addressing false teachers, false doctrine that is starting to infiltrate the church. I won't go into the details of what it was and how it was affecting the church in this episode, but what Peter is doing in the first few verses that we looked at is laying a foundation, again, explaining to Christians who they are in Jesus, and explaining that they have everything they need pertaining to life and godliness. They have everything that right at their disposal. We have every resource that we could ever think of for the Christian life, to be able to live in this world that is hostile to God, both the spiritual hostility and the physical hostility against Christians and against God. And so Peter spends some time talking about that. He talks about us being partakers of the divine nature and how we have all that we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, to live out the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to look at a couple of those fruits here in just a moment and talk about bearing fruit. And so Peter's laying out this foundation and he continues it, but that's what he says right there in verse 5, but also for this very reason. So he's saying for the very reason that he had talked about in the beginning of the letter, about how these Christians had all that they needed in Jesus. They have all the exceeding great and precious promises, that they've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And by the way, I am reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. Also, I did a little bit of searching through the New English Translation to help prepare this episode. But so look at this, what he says, giving all diligence. In that word diligence, so what's going to happen before I get into that? Peter here is going to go into a list of fruit, what the Christian life looks like when we're in Christ and we're growing in that abiding relationship with Him. We're growing in His grace. We have this intimacy with the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says there down a few verses. And so as we spend time with Jesus and we get to know him, these are some things, as we're diligent in them, which means to be eager, to have haste to do, to be careful to do, to have zeal for it, to giving all of our heart and our mind and our body and our strength, everything to these things, these fruits will be producing holiness in us, separation to God. So it's very important. The way Peter is describing it here is, this isn't, you're not going to accidentally fall into holiness. You know, the fruit of the Spirit aren't going to accidentally grow on the tree of your life. You have to give yourself to the pursuit of these things in Christ, not at the expense of Christ. No, these are things as we spend time in Jesus, relationship with Him, alone with Him, as He calls it, getting with the Father in the secret place in Matthew's gospel. Being in John 15, as it talks about being in the vine, connected as branches into the vine, that we would produce fruit. That's what that abiding is. And so he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay. So we're going to add to faith, which let me describe that real quick before we move on. Faith, it's always used of God or Jesus in the Word of God. Faith in Him. God is the object of faith. And it's to have a persuasion, a firm conviction, or assurance based on the truth of what God has revealed in the Word of God. So there's general revelation, which is revelation of the stars and the works of His hands, creation, the revealed things in creation. But there's also the revelation, the special revelation of God's Word. In our faith, in our hope, in our trust, our leaning in is to be on God. So he says, add to your faith virtue. And that word virtue means a renown or a moral excellence in God. And then he says, to virtue add knowledge. Knowledge is seeking to know. It's to inquire or to investigate. And it's an investigation into seeking to know God better and to know His Word. So there is a pursuit in the Christian life of the Lord. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And that's the promise, as we have a heart of humility that is bending our will to His and saying, God, I want to know Your ways. I want to grow in who You are. God will grow our knowledge. And this isn't just a head knowledge. This is a knowledge that grows out of a heart that wants to know the living God and to pursue Him above all things. So, but then Peter says, to knowledge, self-control. And self-control is mentioned in when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. It's a fruit that comes from the Spirit of God working in and through us to help us to be able to possess our vessel, to know how to use our body for the Lord, to know how to grow spiritually in relationship with God, and to have discipline in our lives, to have the Holy Spirit control what I say, and yielding my tongue to the Lord and in all kinds of different areas of my life. I say tongue because that's an area that I can tend to struggle with. I have to try to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so to self-control, he says perseverance. And perseverance, it's an interesting word. I don't know if it's the King James, talks about steadfastness. I think a modern way of saying it maybe is stick-to-itiveness. It's a constant endurance through life, being patient in how we pursue God, waiting upon the Lord, waiting in Him, staying in Him, not trying to get too far out in front of the Lord, not dragging too far behind, but staying in the presence of God and sticking to the things that He's called us to do, not running from them when things get hard. And then He also talks about what perseverance to perseverance, godliness. So godliness, just talking about a reverence for God, having that fear, a holiness towards God Almighty. And a person who's godly does what pleases God and lives for His name and His pleasure, to live for the Lord. And so, and I mentioned in the beginning about how Peter is going to talk about the false teachers. He's going to use this word in contrast to the false teaching and false teachers who are living only for themselves. They didn't have a fear of God. They didn't have godliness. They weren't growing in that. But Christ followers are to live for Him, for the glory of God, and doing what pleases the Lord. But also adding to that, brotherly kindness. So as Peter's getting down on the list here, he talks about this familial bond. That's the way this Greek word was used, Philadelphia. It's used in the sense here of God's people, having affection for God and for other people and kindness towards them. And I think this is an area where I think as the body of Christ, we can do a better job of being kind, being intentional with one another, being able to sit and listen to what someone's going through, and being sensitive to their needs and growing in that. And then Peter finishes off the list here by saying love. And love is, I think, what undergirds a lot of the fruit of what Peter was talking about in the life of the Christian. Because love is, and that Greek word agape, is a description of really who God is. God is love. And it's one of the fruit of the Spirit's mentioned in Galatians, as Paul wrote. The perfect expression of God's love among men is the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's love is a subject I feel like I'm going to study for the rest of my life and still not come to the end of understanding it fully and being able to comprehend the love of God that is shocking and blows my mind, that He would love sinners, people who rebelled against Him, and invite us into a family, the family of God, and love us through every scenario of life and walk us through heartaches and pains and suffering. This perfect love. And this love is something that we not only receive from God, but we get to live it out among other people and show love and kindness to others. It just blows my mind. Now, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren. The barrenness and nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the relationship that we have because of what Jesus purchased for us on Calvary, the blood that was shed to forgive sin, to be laid in a tomb and rise again to justify the ungodly. See, Jesus did this so that we don't have to be unfruitful and barren. Our lives can produce something of goodness, and grace, and all these fruits can be ours. And I will say, it's a lifelong pursuit. These aren't, you know, we don't read this list and go, oh man, I fall so short, and beat ourselves up. We realize that this takes time, but we need to be open to being changed and open and honest about where we're at, so that God can bring this fruit. But it comes by being with him. It immediately brings to mind what Jesus taught, and Peter would have heard these words from Jesus. And I made an allusion to it earlier. It says in John 15, the intimacy with Jesus, that I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, without him, we're unfruitful, we're barren. And he even says in verse 9 that we have forgotten that we were cleansed from old sins if we choose not to live in the way that Peter describes. He says that for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from old sins. So we are blind. We can't see that Jesus has done so much to save us, and he wants to bring the goodness of his grace into our lives for this fruitful life. Now, I want to make sure that you understand, we have to leave room for ourselves to grow. But we want to be growing. We want to be moving in the right direction. And Peter is really opening our eyes, because there are some who would say they are followers of Jesus, and it's actually a mask. It's hypocrisy, because they don't live as if their life has been changed and they've been born again. They don't live in the way that Peter described, and they have no desire to move in that direction. And so he says, and again, it's going to be in contrast to what he's dealing with the false teachers. So I would encourage you with this. This is a good list to come back to and say, God, am I growing in these things? Are these areas of my life where I'm representing you? I'm showing you, I'm imaging you to the world as a redeemed image bearer of God. And if you're not, spend intimate time with Jesus, abide in him, stay in him, have that deep relationship with him where you're being with him for stretches of time, slowing your life down to be with the Lord. So in season 6, we're doing something different. We're asking a question at the end of each episode. And the question is on this one, what is it to make your call and election sure? Because many times I had heard said in reference to ministry, that people would say, you know, make sure you make your call, like your calling, your ministry as a leader in the church or whatever, to make it sure, make sure that that's what God's called you to do. But the context, if I did a little more digging on this, and Peter is talking about the fruit that comes from being in Christ, he's saying, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. He talked about diligence at the beginning of what we talked about, giving all diligence to these fruit. But even more diligence to make your call and election sure, talking about the calling to be a follower of Jesus. If you are in Christ, realize that you have been called out of darkness into light. You're born again. The Spirit of God has taken up residence in you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're forgiven of your sin. You're justified by God. you've been brought into the family of God. Much has happened to you if you've been called by Jesus to come follow him. You are a follower of Jesus. And these fruit will come with this calling. And once you're called, you realize I'm elected, that God elected me. He chose me before the foundations of the world, that I was elected in from eternity. And he gave me a place in his family. And I have received his love. And so what Peter is doing here is actually building assurance into the life of a follower of Jesus, but at the same time prodding someone who may either be getting lazy in their faith and not allowing the fruit of the Spirit into their life, or maybe somebody who's not truly saved or called by God but thinks they are because they made a decision one time in the past but not having any fruit because they're not truly saved. So there's a lot of things happening here with this. But notice what Peter says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a very similar thing that Paul says at the end of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you indeed are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. So what Paul is doing, what Peter is doing, is building a stability under the follower of Jesus. Building a foundation to make sure that you are truly saved. And if you are, that you will not stumble by allowing the fruit of what God has done in your life to manifest and to continually grow into the likeness of Jesus, into the image of the Son. But it's also trying to get people who maybe have, you know, just not pursued the Lord in a while, to stir them up, to say, hey, make sure that you're diligent in these things so you'll never stumble. But also to make sure that you are truly saved. Make sure. This is not something that we need to take lightly. This is something that we're not to, as it says, to in faith, to have these things, godliness and the things that come out of that, the love that grows out of that. Make sure that this truly happened in your life. So it builds assurance in the believer. It wakens people up to how we're supposed to be living out our faith. But it also makes sure that people don't have a false hope and they're putting their hope in maybe their works or whatever it is that they're putting their hope in, that they're truly saved. So to me, this calling an election sure is an assurance for the follower of Jesus. Let this be something that gives you great joy as you pursue it, that you might not stumble, that you'll have entrance into the abundant life that God has in his everlasting kingdom. And here's the other thing. Yield to the Spirit of God as God is trying to bring this fruit as a follower of Jesus into your life. And if you don't know Jesus, I just again invite you to repent of your sin and to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Make him the Lord and Savior and the Master of your life. Make that, hear that calling that God is calling to you. And he wants to save you.